I'm 23 years old and I don't want to hook up. I don't want to make out.
Fellas, welcome back to the channel. Women are starting to wake up to a harsh reality. The guys they once friend-zoned aren't waiting around anymore. Instead of chasing relationships, they're thriving on their own, enjoying their freedom, and living life on their terms. And now, women are realizing they might have made a huge mistake. Let's break it all down. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
And literally in front of the therapist, he goes, well, I just feel like if I'm the one paying for most of the dates and I'm the one paying for most of the activities that we do, then my opinion should just matter more. Like, of course, I'm gonna have final say on everything we do because I'm the one paying. And that's literally all I needed to experience for me to understand the way a lot of men think when it comes to finances in a relationship.
It's not just men, sweetheart. It's not just men, it's you too. If you were financing a man's life or financing every date you and this guy went on, and one day you wanted tacos and he wanted barbecue, and you were the one picking him up in your car and taking him on the date and paying for the date, you would be like, actually today we just gonna get tacos. Now imagine him throwing a fit, like, but I want barbecue. It would take everything in you to just be like, just imagine that. Just a real simple example. I want tacos, you want barbecue, right? This is the dilemma. I pay for every day. I pick you up for every day. I'm Mr. Gentleman. Today I want tacos, today you want barbecue. If you have a brain, you wouldn't even think to question what he said he wanted. But let's just say hypothetically you do. You said, well, no, I want barbecue. Would he be wrong for saying, then you pay for the barbecue? Because that would turn a lot of women off. End of the day, if I'm doing everything, planning the date, picking you up, paying for the date, I have more say. Y'all want a benevolent patriarchy. You want that man to lead, to pay for everything, to hold all the doors open, to lay his life down if he has to protect you. And also, you want equal say. That don't make no damn sense. He's right. He should have more say if he's the one paying for everything. Where else in life is that not correct? Please, please tell me. Where else in life is this person paying for everything and the other person who's being paid for it, they have just as much say? Where else in life does that make sense? I got a car. I paid for the car. I put gas in the car. I paid the insurance in the car. And you think you got just as much say as me with my car? I own the company. I started the company. I fund the company. I run the company. I do the jobs for the company. And you think you got just as much say over the control of my company than me? Come on.
Exactly. Women don't actually hate patriarchy. They just want a version of it that benefits them without the responsibilities that come with it. They want men to lead, but only when it's convenient for them. They want a man to provide, protect, and take care of them, but they also want full autonomy and independence when it suits them. They want traditional male duties without having to uphold traditional female roles in return. Here's the thing. Women today still want a patriarchal structure, but instead of admitting it, they repackage it as equal partnership. Except it's only equal when it favors them. They still want a man who earns more, takes on the hard responsibilities, and makes life easier for them. But they don't want to be held accountable for what that actually requires on their part. They'll say, I want a man to lead. But what they really mean is, let how I want. Make the decisions I approve of. Provide for me without expecting submission. Be strong, but also completely emotionally available. Be dominant, but never tell me what to do. See the problem? They want the perks of patriarchy, but none of the structure that makes it work. They want benevolent patriarchy, where a man provides, protects, and prioritizes them, without them having to provide anything in return beyond their existence. And here's the kicker. When they get exactly what they say they want, true equality, they hate it. They're miserable paying their own bills, splitting dates, and competing with men. That's why so many modern women are confused, frustrated, and single, because deep down, they still expect a man to take care of them, even if they claim they don't. The reality is, you can't have the benefits of patriarchy without the responsibilities of traditional womanhood. And until women figure that out, they'll keep wondering why dating and relationships feel so difficult when in reality, they're just fighting against their own nature.
I spent most of my 20s and pretty much all of my 30s thinking there was something wrong with me because I wasn't getting married. So listen to your elder millennial on this one. I just thought that if I could get into a relationship, I just thought that if I could find the guy and if I could get them married, if I could check the boxes and have the life, that I would stop feeling like shit. But since I wasn't getting the thing and I was so attached to getting that thing and being married, that it just made me feel more like shit. So let me tell you this, I wasted too much time and too much of my collagen skin hating myself and thinking that there was something wrong with me. It wasn't until I switched my mindset and started pouring into me and decentering men and decentering marriage and decentering the patriarchy and really started to pour back into myself and focus on what I can control, which was how I took care of myself, how I showed up, and started nurturing relationships that felt connective to me, like my relationships with women, my female friendships. Once I started pouring into those and focusing on myself and putting me at the center of my life rather than some fucking dumb relationship is when everything switched. There is a level of peace. There's a level of confidence that comes when you start pouring into yourself because you know yourself, you know you're unfuckable and you're not worried about what's happening outside of you and the shit that you can't control. So please just pour into yourself. When you start doing that, when you start consciously prioritizing yourself and putting yourself at the center of your life, so many things will fall into place. I promise you.
So, she started decentering men, decentering marriage, and decentering patriarchy, and suddenly, her life just magically fell into place. Sure, here's the thing. Women today aren't actually decentering men, they're just shifting the blame. Instead of looking at why their relationships aren't working, they convince themselves that marriage, men, and society itself are the problem. They tell themselves, I don't need a man. I don't need love. I'm focusing on me. As if that somehow makes up for the fact that deep down, they're still unfulfilled. What's actually happening is that she's giving up, but instead of admitting that, she's rebranding it as empowerment. Because let's be honest, if she truly didn't care about men or relationships, she wouldn't have to make a public declaration about it. She wouldn't need to convince everyone, and herself, that she's happier than ever. The truth is, women who actually feel peace and confidence don't need to scream about it online. They don't need to justify their choices. But when someone keeps repeating the same talking points about how free they feel, it's usually because they're trying to silence the voice in their head telling them otherwise. And let's talk about this pouring back into herself narrative. What does that actually mean? Is she growing, learning, becoming a better person? Or is it just code for doing whatever she wants with zero accountability? Because self-improvement and self-indulgence are two very different things. At the end of the day, you can't decenter relationships out of your life and then be shocked when you end up alone. But that's the game being played here. Blame men, blame society. And then when you're 45, single, and looking around wondering where all the good men are, pretend that was the plan all along.
The real reason why men date younger women.
Yep, it's gonna be one of those.
Is not because of their physical appearance, their bodies.
I need to interrupt this video because I need to point out that a lot of men between the ages of 16 and 22 do not date a lot because the women of their own age are too busy dating men that are older for their bodies, their physical appearance, and their financial attributes. Let's continue.
No, because today with plastic surgery and everything else, you barely know who is 40 and who is 18.
The only person who's going to agree with that statement is Stevie Wonder himself. I mean, most people can tell plastic surgery. I'm not going to point fingers right now.
Guys date younger women because they're easily manipulated.
Yep, it's got nothing to do with the dating market being controlled by women, which we're told all the time. Men can sleep with who they're offered, women can sleep with who they want, until they reach that man age between 16 and 22 as a woman.
Gonna be very happy with a few crumbs, because maybe they didn't experience much in the world.
So as a young man, this is what we hear. You're dating older fellas because they're more experienced, more caring, more loving, more giving. And then we're older, and then we're dating people younger than you, it's because we're manipulative, vindictive, and controlling. That's wonderful. Great to hear.
they're going to be just easily impressed.
Well, God forbid a man wanting to impress a woman. Fellas, go for the women who aren't impressed. They sound a lot more fun. But, you know, here it comes. The money shot.
And it's way cheaper to date a younger girl.
Yeah, she made that video personal to herself. She wants that plastic surgery. She wants to look younger. She wants a man to pay for her to look younger. Men, you're not bad for not wanting to date women your own age. And women, you're not bad for not wanting to date men your own age. Just, as long as you're both consenting adults, you're both sound of mind, and none of you are being controlled one way or another or used, and you're both happy, people like this need to shut up, really.
So, she's out here saying that men only date younger women because they're easily manipulated. Really? That's the only reason? Let's break this down. Instead of admitting that younger women might be more pleasant, more feminine, and less jaded by years of dating disappointments, she jumps straight to the idea that men only go for them so they can be controlled. It's always about blaming men instead of looking in the mirror. You ever notice how the women who make these claims are always the ones men don't pursue anymore? They age out of the dating pool men are interested in. And instead of reflecting on why men might be choosing younger women, they convince themselves it's because those women are being manipulated. Here's the real truth. Men prefer women who bring peace into their lives, not attitude. They want someone who's cooperative, kind, and fun to be around, not someone who sees a relationship as a power struggle. Younger women often come with fewer bad experiences, less emotional baggage, and they actually appreciate what men bring to the table. But instead of acknowledging this, she paints herself as the victim. She refuses to consider that maybe, just maybe, men are choosing happiness over constant conflict. So, the question isn't, why do men date younger women? The real question is, why are older women so bitter about it?
There is no shame in being single in your 30s. I'm 36, I'm single, and I'm divorced. I'm all the things that people would associate with failure, and yet I'm the most content and happy that I've been for a long time. So many people think being single is the worst thing that can happen. But what's worse is settling for the wrong person and being in a relationship for the sake of ticking a box. Being single means you get to pour all of the love you have to give into yourself, so that when the right person does come along, you love and value yourself enough to not accept less than you deserve.
So, she's 36, divorced, and single, but claims there's no shame in it, and that she's the happiest she's ever been. All right, cool. But who exactly is she trying to convince? Because if she was truly content, she wouldn't feel the need to announce it to the world. Happy people just live their lives. They don't go on public platforms trying to justify their situation to strangers. The fact that she's making a statement about it means she's looking for validation. Let's be real. If a 36-year-old man came online saying, "There's no shame in being single in your 30s," people would laugh him off the internet. They'd tell him he needs to get his life together. But when a woman does it, suddenly, she's empowered? And let's not forget, she's divorced. Meaning, at one point, she didn't want to be single. At some point, marriage was the goal. But now that she's back to square one, she's acting like this was always the plan. It's funny how people rewrite the narrative to make themselves feel better. Instead of admitting that she made bad choices in her relationships or that dating isn't going the way she expected, she flips the script and says, "Actually, this is exactly what I wanted." Right. Sure. If she was truly at peace, she wouldn't have to defend her situation. Happy people don't explain themselves.
The first thing you need to do to change your life is to convince yourself you're worth it. Because how many times have you wanted to change, to live a life of purpose and to do the things that make you happy, only to talk yourself out of it? How many times have you decided that your kids, your job, your marriage matter more than you do? Well, I've got a bit of a reality check for you. They don't. They don't matter more than you do. In fact, they won't matter at all if you don't start putting yourself first. So if you've been feeling lost, disconnected from yourself, maybe as though you expected more out of yourself and of your life, then right now is the time to put everyone's feelings and expectations aside and start prioritizing your own journey.
About a year ago, I started dating men who are like 15 to 20 years older than me. This would mean men in their late 30s, early 40s, mid 40s. And I just want to point out, men are all the same. I quickly learned that age does not equate to maturity. Even better, age does not equate to enlightenment. And men that are around like their 20s to early 30s, mid 30s, I personally feel like they still have a glimmer of hope and light and just optimism about them. And they are 100% my preference to date, just based on being spontaneous, enjoying life in the moment, etc. But the men in their 40s who primarily date women in their 20s, something I've learned as to be consistent with these types of men, especially if they've never been married, because they will wear that with a badge of honor. They'll say, I've never been married, I've never been divorced. Those men, the reason why they're single is because they have yet to bring peace into a woman's life. I think they will never change. And if they do end up married, it's going to be very late in life where they'll have no choice but to settle because nobody's going to fall for their games and the money simply just won't hit the same. But yeah, those types of men are usually scorned and have been left by women on a consistent basis. And then like an added part to that is if you aren't a peaceful person in general, people are going to be inauthentic towards you. So these types of men have this ideology that all women lie. But the reality is the women that they've had have had to lie to themselves in order to be comfortable with whatever the man had to offer her in the time being. But she never really wanted to be with him because they are unpeaceful. Like they have no peace.
She's saying that after dating men 15 to 20 years older, she learned that age doesn't equate to maturity and that all men are the same. Then, she points out that men in their 40s who've never been married are single because they haven't yet brought peace into a woman's life. First off, who hurt her? Here's the thing. If she's consistently dating men that much older than her, maybe she should reflect on why that keeps happening. There's a reason men in their 40s, who are still single, might be so. They've already lived life and done things their way. They probably aren't looking to bring someone peace. They want to live in peace themselves. Let's be honest, she's over here trying to act like she's the one with all the wisdom from dating older men. But if those men were so perfect, why are they still single in their 40s? Perhaps those men have boundaries, standards, or past experiences that make them more selective. So, rather than accepting responsibility for her own choices and partners, she's out here painting a broad, almost resentful picture that age equals wisdom and maturity magically kicks in as you get older. Age doesn't guarantee maturity, but experience and self-awareness do. If she hasn't figured that out by now, maybe she should stop blaming age and start looking at herself. And let's not forget the fact that she's the common denominator in all these experiences. Instead of making broad claims about men being the same, maybe it's time to reconsider her approach to relationships and whether she's really ready to bring peace into someone else's life. Self-awareness and maturity go both ways.
I'm 23 years old and I don't want to hook up. I don't want to make out. I don't want situationship. I don't want girlfriend. I don't want boyfriend or I don't want partner. I just want to Remy Sue.
Good men do finish last. And I'm going to tell you why. When a woman finally meets a good man after being neglected, taken for granted, torn down, you name it, all these bad men, she finally meets a good man. She doesn't understand what she's done to deserve this kind of love. She doesn't know how to receive that love. And when a woman is in that state of mind, she is constantly looking for red flags. And when she finds one, even a small red flag, she will cling to it and mentally check out of the relationship, and the man doesn't even know it. And this is where a good man does what good men do, and they will continue to fight and give grace and time, thinking that she will come around because he has no idea that she has already mentally checked out of that relationship. And trust me when I say that no good man would willingly choose to stay and fight for a relationship where he is not wanted. Therefore, good men do finish last because they are constantly punished for all of the bad men in a woman's past.
Absolutely. Even the best man, loyal, hardworking, and kind, can turn cold after experiencing too much betrayal, disrespect, or heartbreak. A man who once gave his all can become distant, guarded, and indifferent. Why? Because after being overlooked, used, or unappreciated for too long, he learns the hard way that being good doesn't always pay off. That's the reality of human nature. You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. A good man will tolerate so much, but once he realizes his kindness is being taken for granted, he stops trying. The same man who once loved deeply, cared unconditionally, and gave endlessly can become the man who trusts no one, prioritizes himself, and refuses to waste time on people who don't value him. And when that happens, society loves to call him bitter or cold. But no one asks what pushed him there. They don't ask how many times he was betrayed, ignored, or undervalued before he finally said, enough. Men don't just wake up and change. They evolve based on how they're treated. And once they see that being a good man doesn't guarantee respect or loyalty, they stop playing that role. They move different. They prioritize themselves. And to the people who once benefited from their kindness, they suddenly look like the villain. But in reality, they're just done being the fool.
Every time I find someone on this app that I think is relatable, they're like, get ready with me, I think I'm gonna get proposed to. Woo! Never mind.
Modern women will wake up between the ages of 33 to 37, rush to have kids, find a husband or both. Modern women will hit the wall in their late 30s and try to get pregnant through IVF. Modern women will rush to have kids. They will find a man who is irresponsible to have a kid and become a single mother. They will get inseminated through IVF and become single mothers by choice. Modern women have many flaws. They are 304s and they do get pregnant out of wedlock and become single mothers. Student loan debt, feminism, it's just really, it's not a great thing. But the worst thing about modern women is they just, you know, can't keep their mouth shut. Modern women will record and upload onto social media for the whole world to see. You know, they'll talk about STDs, bad financial decisions, being a sex worker. Somewhere along the way, it became okay for modern women that have kids to say they wish they never had kids. Let that sink in for a second. These are women that have children. Some of them are married and they're okay with putting it out into the world that they wish they never had children. Once something's on the internet, it's forever. And, you know, there's a high likelihood that their kids will literally find these videos when they get older. Women in the past used to pride themselves on being a wife and mother, raising children to be successful, responsible adults with the measure of a woman. Those days are gone. You see stories of women talking about how they had to give up to become a mother. The fear of missing out and sacrifices of becoming a mother are too much on many modern women. So this is, again, remember, being a young woman today is being a celebrity. You get to be invited onto yacht parties. You get to see your friends living high-flying lifestyle careers. So, yeah, they feel like they missed out. That's why the divorce rate is lowest when women get married between 25 and 30.
That's exactly the problem. What we're dealing with today aren't modern women, they're modern monsters. Women who reject femininity, reject accountability, and reject the very things that make relationships work. They want all the benefits of traditional men, but none of the responsibilities of traditional women. They demand high-value men while bringing nothing but attitude, entitlement, and unrealistic expectations to the table. They shame women who actually want to be wives, calling them pick-me's, while at the same time crying about how they can't find a man. They treat relationships like transactions, dating only for status and money. But when men date for youth and beauty, suddenly it's a problem. They push men away with their masculine energy, then blame men for not stepping up. They say they don't need a man, then get on TikTok sobbing about how lonely they are. These aren't just modern women. These are modern monsters. And men? Men are checking out. Because why would they commit to women who see them as disposable? Why build a life with someone who thinks respect is optional? Why invest time, energy, and money into a relationship when the second she's not happy, she's already planning her exit? The reality is setting in. Men are waking up. And these modern monsters? They're running out of victims.
No. Ooh. Yeah, that's the one.
Guys, I'm so annoyed with dating. So this man and I went on two dates, okay? We went on one date like 3 weeks ago, and it was a nice date. He's really quiet and a little awkward, and I'm very outgoing, so, but like, I was not feeling well that day. I was just, it was like right before I got sick. So I was kind of like, I don't know how that went. And at the end of the date, he looked at me and was like, so did you have a good time? And I was like, oh yeah, like, did you? Because I couldn't get a read on him. And he was like, yeah. And I told him that. I said, oh, I really couldn't read you. And he said the same about me. He was like, you're so friendly, I didn't know if you were just being nice. He's like, I'd love to see you again. When are you free? And I was leaving for a conference in Vegas. So he was like, planned something. I got sick. I was out for basically 2 weeks. And then I went to Hawaii. And we went on our second date last week, last Thursday. And I thought it was really good. I mean, I felt like the first one was just like a little awkward. And then this one, it felt like he loosened up a lot more. So he was like warming up a little bit more. We were joking. Like, it felt like it was going a lot. Like, I don't know. I was like, oh, I'm kind of excited by this. And during the date, I said something about our first date. And I was like, yeah, I felt really, like, I couldn't really read you. And I felt like I was maybe being a little much because I was whatever. And he said like, oh no, I really like your personality. I like you. And I was like, whoa, oh my God, okay. All around, good date. We had like a nice kiss, whatever. And I'm like, Two dates and both were drinks. So they weren't like super long, whatever. But the second date I was like, oh, I like him a little bit more. I would definitely see him again. So I don't hear from him until Sunday, which I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, Sunday he texts me asking about my weekend. I tell him, he responds, and then I respond again and he leaves me on red. Kind of thinking, okay, is he gonna make plans with me this week? Like, what? Monday comes around, Tuesday, I'm like, I haven't heard from him. I'm gonna make plans with my friends and whatever this weekend. I'm not gonna plan around him anymore. I was hoping to see him, but then I was like, okay, you know what? No. Tuesday night, he texts me and he goes, oh, like, I'm so sorry about the delay, blah, 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 responds to my message. And then he goes, I wanted to check in with you and see how you're feeling about this and where you're at. I'm like, oh. Whoa, one, it's been two dates. Two, this feels like a conversation we should have in person and not over text. Three, I don't know that it was a good sign. I kind of felt like, oh, he's about to drop a bomb or he's about like, or this is really sincere. I was really caught off guard. I was like, oh, I like spending time with you and I'd like to keep seeing you. How are you feeling? That's all I said. Cause I was like, we can talk about this in person. I don't wanna, you know. And he said, yeah, I really enjoy spending time with you and I'd love to keep seeing you. With that said, and I was like, kill me right now. That said, I'm not sure about our compatibility. There seems to be some lulls in the conversation. I was so thrown off guard. Like, why would you say that so early on? I mean, no shit, you don't know about our compatibility. We've gone on two dates. We literally don't know each other. I also feel like maybe that's a little bit further down the line and 100% a conversation in person, because that feels really hurtful. And I don't think he meant it to be hurtful, but it felt like then if I see this man again, he's gonna be way over analyzing if we're compatible or not. And like, yes, I'm doing that in my head too, but to vocalize it like that so early, I just feel like it kind of puts a damper on the natural progression of things and naturally getting to know someone. I was totally caught off guard. I was like, oh, I don't really know what to say to that. I think our personalities are very different, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. He kind of like backtracked a little bit, but by this point I'm like, what the f*** is this conversation? I just don't understand what he wanted to get out of that. It's like made me feel insecure and I'm like, wait, but this person doesn't know me. And also this person told me on the date that they really like me and we had this nice like kiss at the end of it, blah, blah, blah. And then you're gonna text me late and all this stuff telling me you don't know if we're compatible, but I really like spending time with you and I'd love to keep seeing you. I don't know. It feels like you're just putting a damper on things before anything can get going. I don't know. I'm going to show you guys the convo. I also told him I think it's a little early to be having this conversation. We're still getting to know each other, but if you don't see the compatibility, I don't think there's a point in continuing. And he backtracked again and was like, I said I wonder about our compatibility, not that I don't see it. Again, I'm like, why are we having this conversation over text? This is crazy. It's been two dates. This is how men feel with women being like, what are we? Because I was just so, I just didn't really know what he wanted me to say. He said, he responded something like, that's where my concern was coming from about like the different personalities. And I don't think it's about whatever. And he said, that's all. It feels more like something on my end. So now he's like backtracking, but I'm just like, I'm just so confused. And then he said, do you really think it's too early to have this conversation? And I said, to me, this is an in-person conversation and not text. The way you said the compatibility thing really threw me off because I feel like we're just starting to get to know each other. Again, two dates. I think it's a good conversation to have, but I really would have preferred it in person. I felt really excited about you and continuing to see you, and now I am a little thrown off. He said, oh, I didn't mean for it to be a big deal to talk about whether in person or over text. I have friends visiting this weekend, so I probably wouldn't be able to see you again until the next.
Cool.
I'm so annoyed. And then I said, you know, right, okay, I'm not feeling great about this. I feel a little upset, but I'm not quite sure what to say. Responded and he said, I understand. The timing might not be ideal, that I guess like he can't see me this weekend. But I just wanted to be honest about how I feel. You mentioned that I can be hard to read, so I wanted to be upfront. How stupid is this man? Being honest about how you feel is one thing. We literally don't know each other yet. If you're interested in me and you're interested in getting to know me, why would you say that? Really, I hope that he talks to his friends or like some of his girlfriends about this, and I hope they just rip him a new one, because everything was fine. Like, he did not have to say or do that. It would have been fine if he was like, hey, I had a good time, I have friends coming into town this weekend, but I'd love to see you next week. Fine, great, whatever. Now I'm like, what? I don't even know what to make of that. I'm not gonna respond. I think if he tries to make plans with me next week, I'm just not gonna respond. I feel like that whole interaction and what he said, like, it might have had good intentions, but I just now feel like I'm going to be under a microscope, and I just don't think this is how you should start off dating someone.
So, she's done with men and done with dating because a man, whom she went on just two dates with, told her he wasn't sure about their compatibility? That's it. That's all it took. Welcome to dating. A man being honest about his feelings isn't some grand betrayal. It's just how this works. But see, that's the problem. A lot of modern women don't want dating. They want a guarantee. They want to show up, pick a man, and expect him to just go along with it. No questions asked. Here's the truth. Men have standards too. And just because a date went well in your eyes doesn't mean he saw it the same way. Maybe there was no chemistry. Maybe your attitude was a red flag. Maybe he just wasn't feeling it. That's his right. You don't get to dictate his attraction. But instead of taking it in stride like an adult, she throws a tantrum and swears off dating altogether. Instead of handling rejection with grace, she acts like she's the victim. Instead of realizing this is a normal part of dating, she decides that all men are the problem. This is what happens when women aren't used to hearing no. They spend their lives being told that men are supposed to chase them, pursue them relentlessly, and never reject them. And the second that doesn't happen, they lose their minds. But here's the irony. She wants a man who's honest and emotionally mature, yet when a man is honest with her, she crumbles. That's not on him. That's on her. Maybe instead of running to social media to cry about it, she should take this as a wake-up call. Maybe she should ask herself, am I in a place where I can actually handle dating? Or do I just want an ego boost? Because if you can't handle a little rejection, you're not ready for love. And that's why so many women today stay single.